this Jazz in the Alley happened for over a decade. Once a month, people would bring their instruments down and just play live music. And I think what I loved that I read about it was that it was a space for all kinds of people, all kinds of like demographics of people could come together and just be together and listen to music. And community was built through this. And it was before, before Hyde Park Jazz Festival, before Chicago Jazz Festival, Jazz in the Alley was happening.
Everybody, Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. And this is a very unique one because we are talking to two incredible artists that are going to be putting together an entire show. First, Kia Smith. She is the executive director and founder of the South Chicago Dance Theater. And of course, many of you know Isaiah Collier and The Chosen Few. They're going to be part of this incredible performance. It's a world premiere debut at the Auditorium Theater, June 10th, 7:30 p.m., Memoirs of Jazz in the Alley. And I'm sure some of you that are watching this had heard about it way back in the day. And I know they've done a few little tributes over the years, trying to re-spark some things. I can remember before the pandemic a few things, but nothing like what was happening and founded by Jimmy Ellis, who happens to be Kia's father. So, Kia, welcome to the show. Isaiah, welcome back. It's great to see you both, and I'm glad we're talking about this incredible show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
For sure. So, Kia, why don't we start with you first off and just talk a little bit about, the concept behind this. I mean, you're putting dance. I read a little bit about it. There's dance, there's projection, there's all sorts of color. And I remember reading something where it said, reimagined through a futuristic retro lens. So I know there's a lot there in that question, but why don't you just talk first off about how this whole concept came about and how it manifested into a performance at the Auditorium Theater?
So a couple of years ago, I was just reading about my dad online and came across Jazz in the Alley. And when I saw like a link to Google Arts and Culture that had a whole gallery of photos of Jazz in the Alley. I mean, like hundreds of photos, all in black and white, of people, like just everyday people, around the neighborhood in, or I guess now what is now called Bronzeville, around the neighborhood, children, older people, families, young people, just having a good time. And I kind of read into it more and found out that this Jazz in the Alley happened for over a decade. Once a month, people would bring their instruments down and just play live music. And I think what I loved that I read about it was that it was a space for all kinds of people, all kinds of like demographics of people could come together and just be together and listen to music. And community was built through this. And it was before, before Hyde Park Jazz Festival, before Chicago Jazz Festival, Jazz in the Alley was happening. And so I was really drawn to it. And I've just listened to jazz my entire life. And a year and a half ago, I got the Chicago Dance Makers Forum Lab Artist Award, which is a grant that enables you to spend a year-long residency in a research period. And so I actually dedicated my research to Jazz in the Alley, just to learning more about it and also to my creative process, and decided to make a new work about Jazz in the Alley. And so the work is a piece of historical fiction that is definitely rooted in a real place. It's rooted in this moment in time. But I drew from those photos fictional characters that I created just from looking at the picture. So there's a lady in red. The Sandman is an actual character who existed, who people talk about from Jazz in the Alley. So there's a Sandman character in the show. There's other people throughout the show that I just kind of looked at the photos and created from the reading and research. But really, this lady in red character is who roots us in the narrative of the show. And so we follow her trajectory from beginning to end. We see her fall in love. We see her kind of get into some of the traps and vices of just being around, being young, and finding out what's really happening in the alley. But really, overall, I think it's a celebration of jazz music, of dance, and just of how jazz is constantly changing and innovating and reinventing itself. And the futuristic retro lens kind of came from, I was doing some research on the mural movement and all the art that was happening at that time. And I just so happened to be in Berlin for a week during my research period, and came across a gallery that was all based in futuristic retro, that way of looking at and thinking about art.
Yeah.
And I loved how it talked about putting new technologies on something that's happening, that's new technologies that's happening from the past. And I felt like, you know, myself and my company, we can't embody those people from the alley. Like we're not those people. I wasn't alive at that time. It's not fair to say, oh, I'm embodying this, because we're really not. We're looking at it, we're inspired by it, we're paying an homage to it. So I'm kind of putting my own spin, my own choreography, and Devante with the projection design, and Isaiah with his new way of thinking about music. We're kind of just paying an homage to this period of time.
Well, and it shocks me too, that there really hasn't been anything on this, you know, Jazz in the Alley, because I've heard about it. I know they've done maybe a tribute here or there, but there hasn't, and to my knowledge, except for this Google, you know, document with all the photos. By the way, I ran into that, which I never even knew existed until I started looking around a little bit. It's fascinating to me, but it to your point, it really brings together all sorts of different cultures together around music, around jazz, which really is what jazz is, right? I mean, you bring in all the different cultures, all the different genres, kind of melt into what jazz is, especially thinking of it futuristically as you are, because that's the only way you can think. You've taken it out of the 60s and 70s and you've brought it into the 21st century. And that's where Isaiah comes in. And Isaiah, so how do you even go about conceptualizing this? I mean, I know you're working with Kia, but you wrote some stuff, you rearranged some things. I mean, where do you even start? Because, you know, from being at jam sessions and, you know, people rolling in from all over the city, all over the country, sometimes just calling tunes, you never know what's going to happen. So, I mean, where would you even start from, you know, what tunes or what style that you would even start with for something like this?
So I think what made this process really cool was Tia actually had a roadmap for me to kind of follow, more or less.
Okay.
That roadmap. I was able to, you know, pick and choose and try to condense the stuff, because a lot of the arrangements were built for larger pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was fun for me. We learned some of the stuff in school with arranging and stuff. So it was like a different muscle coming back into utilization. And that's actually been a thing that's been like, you remember we had some of the smaller projects with the Celestials and stuff we did. So that's been like one of my things, is how do we get a big sound out of a small group of people?
Mm.
Which gives it the illusion that it's that many people there, but which speaks to everybody also just being focused enough to realize that each part that is being played plays a huge part. So you know, just taking your time and breaking it down. It's it because we really are going through. It's almost like a quick time warp, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the different modes of the music, we are literally bouncing back and forth between a lot of different chronological aesthetics, sonically, and to just weave it into this seamless thing. It's almost like a sweep motion, but without it necessarily being a sweep. So, and for me, that's really fun, because it also ties into a lot of things, the different principles we learn from Western classical music as well, but applying it through the African-American experience. So,
well, that's the thing, especially with you and your music. You know, I mean, you always take things to another level. And the way you're describing about trying to find a way to have it sound like a larger ensemble, but still keep it as a small ensemble, but still you're telling a story, right, with the music, along with the dance and projections and stuff. When you were composing this, were you, I mean, I'm just fascinated about the whole concept about between, you know, dance and music and creating something from scratch, which is essentially what both of you are doing. Maybe Kia, did you have concepts that you wanted to tell Isaiah and say, look, this is kind of what I'm thinking. We're going to be doing this movement, or this tempo is going to be slower or faster or whatever. I need some rhythm here. I need this, that, because this is the way we're going to work the choreography. Or did you just let him go to town and then wait, maybe give him some notes and then wait for it to come back, and then you put the choreography to the music that he created?
No, I definitely had a firm storyboard. I mean, I worked on this for about a year and a half before Isaiah came into the project. So by the time Isaiah and we got to work with the band, I mean, it was mostly solidified in terms of like what tracks were we using and that Isaiah would take and like, you know, make it work for the number of musicians that we have or that he has. And the number of the amount of time that each piece was. So it was more so like I gave him videos of like, this is the choreography, this is the song list, these are the places where I need like something improvised or where I need like another layer of something where there's more freedom. But I mean, the choreography is very set, so it's mostly structured piece overall.
Yeah, I mean, and that was going to be one of my questions too. I mean, Isaiah, how much improvisation is happening? Because Jazz in the Alley, it was Jazz in the Alley, right? So there's a lot of improvisation. Are you playing it like a regular, maybe an arranged jazz piece like you would have? And then there's a lot of blowing in between in certain spots, or how what can people expect to hear, I suppose?
Man, it's a great question. I mean, like she said, she had this really, it's thoroughly composed. So, which is really cool because, you know, this type of aesthetic of this type of work hasn't really been done since like 100 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about like that era of the 20s and everything. When we look at the time lengths of recordings, when we listen to them, it's not that they didn't want to go longer. It's that we were at the mercy of, this is how long the machine could run the tape to get it done. So just like that, we're being tasked to, as I like to say sometimes, get to the point. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's cool to have the ability to freely improvise and stuff, but the traditional rule, as you probably heard, is like, if you can't say it in two courses or less, you ain't saying nothing. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is really cool. And it's a balance, right? It's balance between maximalism and minimalism, for especially for us, you know, how we can, but it's good to know we have, it's all about musicality, the ability to expand and contract. And so I love this because this allows us to show another side of what we are able to offer as far as the versatile side of it. So we're really getting a chance to speak through the tradition of the music. Really, he is really making us go through the tradition. So,
well, and you know what, though? I mean, like I said, I mean, this is a way to all of a sudden bring this back to the forefront, right? I mean, jazz comes back to the forefront. And I think, you know, it's kind of a poignant time. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe this will spark something else to start happening as the new mayor's reaching out into neighborhoods and stuff. Because it just seems like it's such an obvious situation, Jazz in the Alley, and it used to just bring the whole community together. Yeah. And things like this stopped in the past 20, 30 years. But I mean, maybe this will spark some interest in bringing something like this back. So Kia, are you planning on doing more with this show? Are you taking it on tour? And what do you hope to have people in the community, have people in the city, have people in the country learn about Jazz in the Alley? And you know, what are your expectations for people to take away from it?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I really wanted to do with this piece, and that I did for myself also from just researching this piece, was just regaining and understanding more of knowledge about how jazz is just such a Black art form, how everything about it, like, you know, it came from Black people and it's made a play and made way for so many other genres and forms to be in existence. And so I really wanted that to be at the forefront. And that also applies to like jazz dance. I mean, how all of it, you know, was created by Black people. And so that was one thing that I wanted to point through in all aspects of the work. And also specifically, I mean, I love history and I love Chicago history. And so I just like to find out like what was like, where did this come from? Like jazz is, you know, Chicago is a jazz city to me, it is. And so, you know, it's so commercialized and so popular, but like where did it really come from? Like, and so just knowing, I think that most people, like people that let's say go to like, I don't know, that go to the jazz showcase because they come to Chicago and they hear that's the place to go hear jazz. Yes, it is one of the places and it's great. But like, what was before, like what, like, where is it all coming from? You know? And so I think that was something that I wanted to point to. In terms of other performances of the piece, we'll be at the Harris Theater for Music and Dance for the Resident Company Showcase in September, doing an excerpt of this piece. And then we're taking some excerpts to Colombia and South America and in October. And then I definitely will be pitching it to presenters. That's another part of my job at the company. I do booking and touring. So like in the next few years, I'll be pitching it to other presenters, but those are our most immediate dates for it.
Well, and I love it because, you know, with dance combined with music, so jazz dance, jazz music and everything, it opens the entire performance to a bigger audience because, you know, there's a lot of people that might come to see your company perform, but they would never go to a showcase, jazz showcase or Green Mill or Andy's or anything like that. And vice versa, a lot of the jazz musicians, a lot of the jazz fans that I know and that Isaiah knows probably wouldn't seek out to go to a dance performance, but maybe this will meld things together and actually bring the arts community together too, because that's kind of what I feel like this is going to be able to happen. You know, it's going to just open up doors, and I'm all about opening up doors. That's why I love talking about this. So let me remind everybody, South Chicago Dance Theater's debut world premiere, Memoirs of Jazz in the Alley, June 10th, Saturday, 7:30 p.m., Auditorium Theater, featuring Isaiah Collier and The Chosen Few, and maybe a few others. I don't know how you're billing that, because you might have a little bit bigger than The Chosen Few that I usually see, but it'll be kind of cool. But the music is going to be incredible. The dance is going to be incredible, I guarantee you. And I love the Auditorium Theater, and I'm curious to see what projection goes along with all of this, because they have the screen in there. I mean, it's going to be a gorgeous. What a spot to host this. Before I let you go, Kia, I got to find out, how did you get into the Auditorium Theater? Because I know that they get booked up, but they're always supportive of unique artistic performances. And that's what this sounds like. Did you pitch it to them? And they said, we got to have this. This is like perfect.
They have a Made in Chicago series that they curate every year. So this is a part of the Made in Chicago series. So this year, and we'll be back next season with a new show. We're just a part of that series. So it was really awesome for us in our sixth season to get to be at the auditorium. I think a lot of times it can take longer. So we're super, super happy that we got the opportunity. And I think it kind of ended up, they asked us to come, and this just so happened to be what we were doing this season. So we were going to do the show regardless, but we happened to get to do it at the auditorium, which is like 1,000 bonus, like over the top. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be gorgeous there. So, all right. Auditoriumtheater.org. Kia Smith, thank you very much. Isaiah Collier, thank you for being back on. It's always good to see you. And of course, I'd like to thank everybody for watching. So all the information is, of course, on chicagojazz.com as well. And hopefully you get out and see this show. And I thank both of you for being here. And I thank all of you for watching. And until next time, hopefully I will see somebody out on the scene.